Hey guys, I'm just the youth pastor. My name is Zach, and I love to be here at Grace Point. Who else loves to be here at Grace Point Church? Some awesome people in this house. And before I continue with today, I couldn't not take the time to give honor to our pastors. They're on vacation right now. They are resting. And let me tell you something. The good sign of a healthy church is a church that's able to continue with the leaders and the volunteers that are in it, even when the lead pastors aren't there. So can we give honor to our lead pastors and then also all the awesome volunteers to help make this happen? Genuinely, guys, we couldn't do this without you. And we're so thankful for you guys who serve and help make this happen. And if you're attending, if this is your first time here, hey, we love you. We're so glad you're here. This is a family, okay? We're not a perfect church. So if you're perfect, you might need to find a different church because we're not perfect, okay? But hey, we love people and we love God. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that good? All right. So I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. You know, this last year has been an interesting year for me as an individual. I really feel like God has been doing something in me in my life that has just been calling me to grow, to grow. And growing, how many of you guys know when you were growing up, especially some of my taller friends, like growing when you were a child was not fun because what do you have? You had growing pains, right? You know what I'm talking about? I remember one time when I was in high school and I was just sitting on the couch and, you know, I'm growing, I guess. I'm not very tall. I'm like 5'10". If you put me up to a thing, I'm probably actually like 5'8", but we're going to say 5'10", okay? And I remember I was sitting on the couch. Thank you. It's so funny, huh? Sitting on the couch, and I was watching TV. I was at my dad's house, and there's all of a sudden, I'm just laying there, and my leg just uncontrollable cramping and pain. And I was literally went from being on the couch to on the floor, writhing around. Like, my dad's like, do I need to pray? Do I need to grab a Bible? Like, what's going on over here? And it was this growing pain that was going on. And I think in our spiritual lives, we experience this sometimes. In our spiritual walk, I think God is calling us to grow. You know, it's not as simple as just, hey, I'm going to get saved. And if that was it, I've said this before, if it was only about that, then the moment we accepted Jesus, Jesus would come in some alien ship and just zap us up into heaven, right? But it's not that simple. We are called to help bring God's kingdom to earth. We are called to be stewards of God's Holy Spirit and to make a difference during our time on this planet. And most of you guys know who are some seasoned Christians that have been walking with Jesus for a while. Thank God you're not the same way you were, right? Thank God you've had some growth and some maturity and some development along the way. And so today's message, I want to challenge us with this idea of growth. And can we just all agree growing's not always fun, but it's necessary, right? It's something that needs to happen, and God feels the same way. I want to talk, and I want to revisit a conversation we had about Peter. The first time I had the privilege of preaching here was about a year ago in November, and I preached on John chapter 20 and John chapter 21. I'm going to give you a quick summary, but basically John chapter 20 and John chapter 21 are the last two chapters of the Gospel of John. What's interesting about the last two chapters of the Gospel of John and what makes it different from the last chapters of all the other Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's important I remember that, right? Come on, man. It's the pastor's son's name. Come on. But the difference with that is all the other Gospels end with Jesus ascending into heaven and commissioning the disciples. But John ends by talking about Peter. And, you know, I preached about this before, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but basically, the picture is Jesus comes back, Peter gets in his feelings, he feels like he's disqualified, he feels like he's not able to do what God has called him to do. So even though Jesus had came back, Peter decided, hey, I'm not fit to be a part of this anymore. And it's a really beautiful picture because it's the picture of Jesus coming to Peter and saying, hey, you were never fit. That's why I had to come. That's why I had to die on the cross, because you could never be good enough. So I'm going to come and I'm going to take the penalty for you and die on the cross. And that's the picture of salvation. Can I get an amen and a little bit of praise to Jesus this morning for what he does for us? So that's the picture of John chapter 20 and chapter 21. And I want to share this verse with you in John chapter 21, verse 7. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Everybody say jump on three. One, two, three.
Jump.
I almost had you guys stand up and do some cardio, but we're not going to do that right now, okay? Y'all are awake enough where we ain't got to do that. That's a really cool, really cool story. If you haven't heard me unpack that, feel free to dig through the Facebook archives. I'm not that good of a preacher. You know, maybe just go Google something. But I don't want to spend too much time on that today. What I want to spend some time on today is a similar passage, a similar moment in Peter's life. Because the cool thing about Peter is Peter was a knucklehead. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been a knucklehead in my life. Raise your hand if you're a knucklehead who loves Jesus. Amen. And the rest of you guys are lying, but that's okay. We still love you. That's all right. You're welcome. But Peter was a knucklehead, and there's a lot of growth that happens in Peter's life. Remember, the beginning of Peter's story is that he gets around this guy named Jesus. Jesus jumps into his boat, tells him to push it out so that he could teach. And then after that, Jesus says, "Hey, throw your net into the water." And then there's an awesome catch. They get like the best catch of their life. Like, you know, it was that big. You know what I mean? Some of you guys be lying, and you'd be doing the camera work, making your fish look bigger. It's okay. We won't tell on you. But he has the best catch of his life. And Peter, in that moment, he realizes something. He said, "Man, this guy is special." And what does Peter do? He falls down. He says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He basically said, "I shouldn't be around you. Jesus, you're awesome. You're obviously sent by God. And look at me. I shouldn't have anything to do with you because I'm so messed up." That's the start of Peter's journey with Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," because there was a few people there. But it's interesting because we see this moment in Peter's life, and it continues. Peter has a lot of highlights. There's a moment where Peter realizes that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah talked about in the Old Testament, and he's the only one to realize this, and Jesus looks at him and says, "This didn't come from you. This came from God." Like, that's how you knew that. That's how you got that revelation. But also, Peter has some low moments where Jesus literally looks at Peter and says, "Hey, get behind me, Satan," because he says something so off the wall. And so you can see there's this interesting contrast, and it continues where Peter actually writes chapters in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And what's interesting about the life of Peter is he goes from this knucklehead who was felt so unqualified, and rightfully so, to being a person who, when it came time for him to die for Jesus, they're going to kill him because he was so vocal, so loud, so in it for Jesus. They were going to kill him, and they were going to put him on a cross and kill him the same way that they killed Jesus. And Peter told them, "Hey, I'm not worthy to die the same death that Jesus died. Hang me upside down on this cross." And so Peter died upside down on a cross because he was trying to show, "Hey, I'm not even worthy to die the death that Jesus died." And we can see this progression in Peter's life where he goes from being this knucklehead to this great hero of faith who accomplished so much, who inspired so much, who we still talk about and look to in scripture today for inspiration. But I want to focus on a parallel chapter, because remember, John chapter 21 is this moment where Peter's on the water, Jesus appears to him. But there's another moment like this. Some of you guys may remember this in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. And this is going to be the meat of today's message. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open that up. If you're like me and prefer the screen, that's okay too. But starting in verse 22, "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." Pause. So basically, Jesus is hanging out with the disciples. This is the moment where they just gave a lot of bread and fish to people, who performed a miracle. And then Jesus says, "Hey, you guys go ahead, go out on the boat. I'm gonna have some prayer time," okay? Jesus needed prayer time. I think we do too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Back in verse 25, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." So this is cool. Jesus is literally walking on the lake. He's walking on water. I wish I could do that. You know, it's better than an Uber. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And watch this. "Lord, if it's you, "If it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. So Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this word. And Father, I pray that it would be your word, not my own. And God, our hearts would be ready to receive what you're trying to say as you challenge us to grow. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So this is a really cool moment. We see Matthew chapter 14. This happened before John chapter 21 in the chronological order. And what's crazy is there's this moment of doubt in Peter and the disciples' lives where Peter makes this statement, if it is you, that's the picture in Matthew chapter 14. And then in John chapter 21, what happens? It is you. And I think we've all had this journey in faith where we come to God or we come to church or we have a conversation with someone and we're open. And we're asking ourselves, God, if you're real, God, if this Jesus thing is true, God, if it is you, we've all had those moments. And those moments are amazing. Those moments are usually when Jesus really meets us where we're at. I don't know about you, but for me, that moment was when I was 13 years old and God met me in an old gym that smelled gross and didn't even have good air conditioning, but I met God there. My if it is you turned into an it is you. And because of that, something had to change. Because of that realization, something had to change. It no longer was God, if it is you. I already knew it was God. It is you. A definitive statement, not a question. Knowing, hey, Jesus is real. God really sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And he came back again. And now he fills me with this Holy Spirit. This is no longer of if it is you question. And it now became an it is you question. And there's two groups of people in the room right now. There's the people still asking, God, is it you? Like, is this real? And then there's the other group of people who have already decided that in their hearts. And I just want to tell you guys, I love both groups. It's okay. We've all been there at some point. Maybe for you, that's not 13. Maybe for you, that was 50. Where that if it is you became it is you. But we all have this journey of faith. But the thing that I want to start with today in this conversation is my first point. Faith means movement. Faith means movement. Notice when Peter says, if it is, Peter walks on water. So he's still having a moment of unsure, of doubt, of I don't really know. I don't have it figured out yet. I don't really know what I think yet. But even in this moment of if, Peter moves. Peter walks on the water because Jesus told him to. And he makes a movement. He approaches Jesus with a little bit of faith. And we see later a moment where Peter has a lot of faith, where he knows that it is Jesus, and he moves again. This time in John chapter 21, it says that he swam to Jesus. The first time when he was asking if, he said, God, if it is you, ask me to come out in the water. And Jesus says, comes, and he walks on water, has a moment of doubt, starts to fall in the water. Jesus saves him, put him in the boat. Really cool, awesome moment. And that was the if, but it is turns into, that's Jesus on the shore over there. I'm jumping in this water, and I am swimming to Jesus. There was movement that took place. And the challenge of faith is it requires you to do something. It requires you to do something. You can't hear the gospel. You can't hear the story of Jesus. You can't just believe what we believe and then be casual with it. You either accept it or you reject it. It means something or it doesn't. I tell the youth students all the time, I said, hey, we have a lot of fun at church, but if it was just about fun, we could go to Dave & Buster's and probably have a lot more fun. But it's not just about that. There's a real Jesus who really loves you. And he's God. He's God. And the challenge is, especially today, in the American church especially, I love you guys. I'm gonna dig in here a little bit, if that's okay. Is that okay to have your permission? All right. I'm not a bully. I love you. I'm here for you. This is something that God has been working on me in this last year. At the beginning of the year, a word was spoken over me, and it was the word lead. And you hear that, and you think, oh, cool, leadership. No, no, no. Lead yourself. Lead yourself. That's the conviction that the Holy Spirit has put inside of me. And I'm telling you guys, this last year has been difficult. It hasn't felt good. And I believe God is calling us into this faith, into this movement. And he wants us to grow past the point of needing the feelings to do something. I don't want to be a donut disciple. What I mean by that? I'm on a diet, but the moment I see a donut, I'm feeling that donut and it feels good, so I'm going to go grab it. I don't want that donut discipline. Because if I got that, I ain't getting anywhere. You know what I mean? I want to press into what God has for me. And it's a challenge and it's a call to growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, old preacher once said, anytime there's a therefore, you ask yourself the question, what is it there for? Why is it there? There's a therefore. Why is it there? 1 Peter chapter 1 spends almost the entire chapter establishing the truth of, hey, Jesus is Lord. Like, this thing is real. We all know that. Okay, that's what I basically have been spending the last 10 minutes doing. And then it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may... I love it. So by it, you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see the picture here? Do you see the grace of God that's okay with the if it is, but that calls us, once we realize it is, that calls us to growth? I have a daughter. She's beautiful, Adelina. I love her to death. But if she was always this tall... She's almost 2 years old right now, but if she was always this tall, she probably got a problem, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. She's supposed to grow, and I'm short, her mom's short. She's probably not going to be 6 foot, but that's the picture here. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, it's really simple. God is calling us to grow up. God is calling us to grow up. And what's cool about God is he's not asking you to compare yourself to the person next to you. Because if you hear this message in the wrong way, you're going to walk away like Peter did at first, feeling disqualified. But this message is asking for you to focus on you and your relationship with God. That's a good spot for praise. There we go. I love it. We're like, do we clap? I don't know. Sure, we're clapping. Comparison will be the thief of your joy. Stop looking to the other people to decide, hey, am I doing good? Instead, ask God, hey, God, what's my next step? Faith means movement. You're asking me to grow. You're asking me to step into. I love the picture because grow up can sound a little harsh, but when you think about it, grow up, grow toward the things of God. Look at what God is doing. Stop worrying about what's happening down here. Grow up. God is calling us to grow up. But the hard part about that is it isn't easy. It isn't easy. I'd be lying to you if I sat here and told you, man, this Jesus thing, life is in the bag, bro. Like, it's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. Jesus died on a cross. You think that was easy? It wasn't easy, man. And let me show you something. In the moment of if it is you, Peter walked on water. But when it became God, it is you, what did Peter do? Peter swam. Now, I like to consider myself somewhat in shape, but I don't know about you guys. I'm not an athlete, but I would prefer to walk somewhere than have to swim somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to need a life vest. You ever been scuba diving and, you know, they like give you the little vest or whatever because, you know, if you're not good at swimming, you might drown. I'm thankful for that vest, y'all, because I'm a big boy. I don't know if you guys paid attention in science class, but when you put large matter in a body of water, it starts to sink. Swimming's a little bit of work. It's a little bit of work. It wasn't as easy as walking was, but when Peter's faith started to grow and when he started to move and take the next step that God was calling him to, remember, it was a process. We're reading about moments in Peter's life where he was messing up and screwing up left and right, but we're also reading passages that Peter wrote later on in his life to build up the body of Christ. I don't know if you noticed, all of my support scriptures from 1 Peter and 2 Peter. That's why I love Peter, because it gives hope to knuckleheads like me. There is a way to grow. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a way out of your situation. God can do something in your life. Amen? Amen. But it isn't easy. And we need to stop looking for easy. Look, if you're coming to church for easy, you're in the wrong place. And that's a little hard, and there's a little tension in that, because the gospel also says that my burden is easy, my load is light. But we see in this tension moment that there's a separation from the salvation side of it and the what God is calling us to do side of it. See, salvation was a finished work. Salvation is not something that I earned. Salvation was given to me by the grace of God. Jesus did everything that needed to be done for salvation on the cross. I don't have to add to it. It's done. I just got to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I will be saved. That's the salvation work. But God is calling us here on earth to works. Plural, works. He's calling us to do something, but it isn't easy, and we need to stop being surprised by that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Isn't that us? Isn't that us? And I'm guilty of it too. You ever look at God and be like, "God, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm going to have to struggle? What do you mean I'm going to go through some things? What did Jesus say? In this life, you will have trouble?" I feel that. Been there, done that. Can we move on from this? But it goes on to say in verse 13, "But rejoice in as much as you participate. Thank God Jesus showed us how to struggle. Jesus showed us how to suffer. As you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." We need to understand anything worth having isn't easy. You know what's easy? I'll just use myself as an example, because I feel like I've been bullying y'all a little bit too much. You know what's easy? It's easy not to lead myself. It's easy not to press in and have the Bible time. It's easy not to have the prayer and the worship time. It's easy to not be a good husband. It's easy to not be a good father. It's easy to not be a good employee. It's easy to not be a good pastor. I mean, come on, how many pastors are falling because of integrity issues all the time? Anything worth having, it isn't easy. But the promise of the gospel is that God will be with us. God will be with us, even when it's not easy. And guys, we gotta stop wanting easy so badly. How do I say this? God is trying to do something in us. God is trying to do something through the church. But the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven was taken by violent men, violent women. That don't mean I'm going around smacking people with my Bible, all right? But what it does mean is I'm not going to sit here with my hands on my bottom just wanting to come to church once a week and feel good about myself. That's not what the gospel calls us to do. That's not it. And let's just be honest, some of us have been hurt by this kind of a phony gospel. Some of us have been hurt by Christians who have kind of been that way. We don't have to point fingers, but let's just be honest. Sometimes we are the Christian that, like, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we know it. And we're hurting people because of it. And there's a very fair question that the world is asking. You know what I found? I'm 25. You know what I found with most of my unsaved friends? They don't question whether or not there's a God. They don't question that. What they question is, if Jesus is real, if my God is real, then why do Christians act that way? That's the question that's being asked of us, church. Not, is God real? We like to pretend, oh, we're just battling a bunch of atheists who don't love God. No, we're battling ourselves because we don't represent the bride of Christ the way we should. We're not carrying the love of Jesus the way that we should. We're not walking in the Spirit the way that we should. God is with us, so even when it's not easy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11 says this, humble yourselves. I don't know about you, but for me, this is humbling. I'm challenging you today. I hope that's okay. Humble, got one, amen. Everybody else, I didn't get your permission, too bad. File it in our church complaints departments. I'm just a youth pastor. LOL. Lots of love, bro. Lots of love. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know what's interesting about lions? Is they don't come at a pack of 20 antelopes trying to take them all at the same time. What they look for is the straggler. They look for the weak one. They look for the one that's not participating with the rest. And the Bible doesn't say the devil is a roaring lion. He ain't that powerful. But the Bible did say he's like one. He uses the same tactics. The strategies are the same. He's looking for the people who are just being passive with their faith. And even if he doesn't get you, he'll try to use you to get somebody else. I ain't got time to go into all that. Verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I'm just going to say this. I think the American church is going to have a lot of questions to answer one day, when at the same time there are people in this world right now being murdered because they believe in Jesus and their only crime was confessing the gospel. And we get upset because we didn't play the music we like, or, you know, somebody cut us off in the parking lot, or they didn't have the creamer I wanted in my coffee. Or Instagram's notifications going up. I can't pay attention for a one-hour sermon. Or, let me get you one that's been getting at me a little bit. The one-hour church service, I can't stick around for the moment where the altar call's happening and the Holy Spirit's moving, all right? We get out early. I love you guys. I think we got some questions to answer, though. God's like, come on, guys. We got it easy here in America. It's strong. I know it's strong. I love you. Let's go get coffee. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. It's almost like God kind of wants us to go through that a little bit, because there's growth that takes place there. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. To him be the power forever and ever. What's cool about that is God isn't asking you to be strong. Paul said, even though I'm weak, I am strong in Christ. God's not asking you to be Mr. Spiritual Macho Man or Spiritual Wonder Woman. Gotta get my ladies in there too. God's asking you to take the next step. God's asking you to trust him. God's asking you like Peter, hey, come. I'll make sure you're able to walk on the water, but I need you to take the step. I need you to make the movement. I need you to start praying. I need you to talk to that coworker. I need you to look at the Bible and see what my word says and do a cross-reference with what my word says and how you live your life. And the things that don't line up, I need you to change your life, not my word. That's the gospel. And it's strong, and it isn't easy. But let me tell you something, and let me promise you something. And this is my last point. If we can get the band to come up too, please. It is worth it. It is worth it. I love it because I think sometimes as Christians, you know, we kind of get this idea like, oh, man, I'm loving people, I'm giving, I'm sacrificing, I'm trying to do what I'm called to do, but like, I'm just tired, bro. It'd be good to have a check right now. It'd be good to get some rest. It'd be good to kick my feet up. But the Bible tells us that we are storing up riches in heaven. That what we do right here on this earth will be reflective of what we receive in heaven. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about rewards. Not only is there that, but I'm just going to tell you, it's worth it for your families. I'm going to tell you, it's worth it for your friends. I'm going to tell you, it's worth it for your own life. How many people in this room can confess that when God delivered them from something and changed something in their life, it was hard at first, but man, was it worth it. Where are my CR people at? Come on. Come on. Second Peter is the last book that Peter wrote before he died on the cross upside down. He says this, and just remember, this is the same Peter who was cussing, cutting ears off, got called Satan by Jesus. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in this divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. And watch this, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you see that? In increasing measure, in growing, in growth, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And watch this. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I told you guys earlier, this year has been difficult for me. And it's not because anybody in our family got sick. It's not because we've been having problems at home. It's not for any of those reasons. The reason why it's been difficult for me is because God's been putting this impression on me. God is making me wonder what my life would look like at the end if I didn't do what he told me to do. God has been making me think these thoughts of like, am I missing out on the potential? Not that I have, but that God has. I don't want to get to the end of my life, whenever that is. Hopefully it's a long time from now. I don't want to have to wonder, did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I accomplish God's purpose in my life? Did I make the difference that I was supposed to make? And what's awesome about God is he's not asking for this big, amazing thing. All he's asking is for you to take the step, to trust him and make the movement. At the beginning of this message, I told you that if you listen to this the wrong way, you're going to feel disqualified. But that's not the picture of Jesus. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, hey, take a little step. The faith of the size of a mustard seed. God is faithful to complete the good work that he has started. And so when I'm like Peter and I'm unsure and I'm saying, God, if it is you and I'm walking on water, I can go from that to being the guy that's saying, hey, God, I know it is you. And because it is you, I'm going to put my jacket on and I'm going to swim to you. And I'm willing to do the work to accomplish what you have called me to accomplish because I know who you are. Can you guys stand with me here? My question to you guys today is, what is God calling you to do? Seriously, I'm actually asking you. If you just listen to this message and go, wow, that was a good Sunday. Oh, good job, Pastor Zach. Oh, thank you. But I don't really care about all that. What I care about is, what is God calling you to do? And are you doing it? Are you doing it? I'm a youth pastor. But the Bible says that we're called as ministers to equip the saints to do the good works. You know what that means? As saints, as people who are just coming to this church, you're not on staff, you're not, you know, whatever. You're not, you're just coming because you believe in Jesus. You are called to do the work. You are the saints. There's something that only you can do that God's saying, hey, if you don't say yes to this, then it's just not going to get done. Not because God can't do it, but because God wants to do it with us. So what is God calling you to do? Can I speak to the men for a second? Men, lead your homes. Men, be godly men. Men, love your wives. Men, be the people that pray with your children. Women too. And I'm thankful for a generation of godly women who have stood in the gap for men that have not been willing to lead. I got some praying grandmas in my life, and let me tell you what, I got a praying mom here right now, and let me tell you what, it is the prayers of some godly women that have sustained me in my goofiness. But what is God calling you to do, and do you want to see what God is trying to accomplish in your life happen? Because like I said, salvation's finished. You accept Jesus in your heart, you are saved. But I do believe that there's a moment we're going to stand before God where God's like, hey, you had this opportunity. Hey, I was asking you to talk to them. Hey, I was asking you to give to them. Hey, I was asking you to change that. Hey, I was asking you to take this step. Hey, I was asking you to get more involved with your church. Hey, I was asking you to be more vocal about the gospel. Hey, I was asking you to do these things. And we're going to really see, did we accomplish what God wanted to accomplish with our lives? And maybe for you, that next step is just as simple as you need, like Peter, God, if it is you, okay, God, it is you. Maybe you're here in this room right now and you're like, you know what? I've been asking God, is it you? Jesus, are you Lord? Like, are you going to be Lord of my life? Is this thing real? Maybe you're here today and you're asking that, and I'm here to tell you, this is your moment. Stop asking if it is you and start declaring, God, it is you. Can I get a witness from some people who already know, who I've already tasted and seen that the Lord is good? And the other people I want to pray with are the people who maybe feel like verse 8 said, we've been a little ineffective and we've been a little unproductive. God's saying, grow. God's saying, do. God's asking you to move and take that step. It started with a little bit of faith, but it turned into a lot of faith. Just trust God. Stop trying to make it about yourself. Just trust that if God's going to ask you to do something, he's going to take care of you along the way and see what he's going to do. Obey him. Obey him. So if you're one of those people this morning, you're like, you know what? My first step is it is the Lord. Like, I just need to accept Jesus as Lord. If that's you, can you just raise your hand, please? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. And like the verse I read earlier, the Bible tells us, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. So can we pray with these people real quick? And I want you guys to pray with me. Just raise your hand. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you, God, for dying on the cross for me. God, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were raised again, Lord Jesus, and that you're coming back one day. And God, not only do I believe these things, but I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to have a relationship with you. So God, forgive me of my sins and my unrighteousness. And Lord, cover me with your blood. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may continue to take the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. The next people I want to pray for, yeah, amen. The next people I want to pray for are those ones who already know Jesus, but we've been saying no to the thing that God's calling us to do. Stop saying no, man. Stop shutting the door on what God is trying to do in your life. The Bible says that God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. That's not just talking about when we die and get into heaven. That's talking about right now here on earth, that God is trying to give us a better life than the life that we currently know. And the first step to that is just saying yes when God is asking you to do something. If that's you, you know what it is. Raise your hand right now. Picture what it is in your head that God is calling you to do. Amen, 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 amen. I believe there is going to be a breakthrough in your life because of this faith. This is the start. This is the start. God, if it is you, it is you. From walking to swimming, God is calling you to take the step. So this is just the start. But when you walk out of this room today, you got something to do. Maybe you got to ask that person for forgiveness. Maybe you got to go give and you've never given before, whether it's your money or your time. Maybe you got to start witnessing in your office space or have that conversation with that loved one. You have a next step, and it doesn't end right here in this room, okay? So I look forward to hearing the stories next week of some people who are obedient to what God is calling you to do. But right now, we're going to pray and we're going to ask that God will continue to stir in your hearts, because it is from glory to glory. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to participate in this great work of bringing your kingdom to the earth. That God, you have called us to be witnesses. That God, you have called us to make a difference. God, that you have called us to be carriers of your spirit, so that God, when we walk into a room, the fragrance of Christ is filling that place. And so God, I pray that we be emboldened in the spirit, that Lord Jesus, we would stop settling for what we think we should be doing. And instead, God, every day we would be asking ourselves, God, what are you calling me to do? And God, give us the strength to do it. And Father, I pray that you give us the eyes and the ears and the heart to be able to see how you are working, so that God, we could be continually encouraged through the work that we're able to do. God, I thank you for the lives that are going to be changed because of our obedience. God, I thank you for the trajectories that are going to be changed because of our obedience. God, I thank you for the families and the children and the marriages and the relationships that are going to be changed because we're being obedient to you, God. We're not being prideful, but Lord, instead, we are humbling ourselves before you, and in due time, you will lift us up, God. We hold on to your precious promises, and God, we ask that your word would be done in our lives, and in the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people say, amen. Can y'all give God some praise this morning? God is good. And all the time. Hey guys, I love y'all. I know that was a meaty, that was a tough word, but I feel like that is the word that God has been speaking to me. So just know if you feel like Pastor Zach bullied you today, God's been bullying me, but I love you. Grace Point Church loves you. So love God, love people, and you guys have an awesome day.